You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Would you lift your hands towards heaven? Just worship God for a moment right now. Let's just worship Him in the Spirit. Yeshik tambarata blete manoto brata. Lesinim noto bra lite brequata manata broto braluto. Yete bra nabrato broto bra nabalete dere broto. Leshiri brotono. Leknapara lesinebre to bra. No qua tabrene lete brahata nesele tebrene. Hono oto brata lite buene clato baroto, lensene litibrito o to brana, clene e debra ato to soto no bralite, lequana ata brato o loto nebre lessiti numbroto. For yea, it is a new season for my people. As one season is coming to an end in the earth and a new season is beginning, so in the Spirit is it a new season for my people. And as it was in the days of Moses, the cries of my people came up before me, so am I hearing the cries of my people today. And as I drew a line of distinction between the Egyptians and the children of Israel, so am I drawing a line of distinction between the people of the world and the people of God today. And though the world is getting worse and the economy is facing many, many difficulties, and as the people of the world seem to be in one problem after the other, you will find in this new season that healing is coming to my people. Prosperity is coming to my people. Deliverance is coming to my people. Yea, you could have had all of these things before, for I've given them unto you and I've promised them to you in my word. If you would have simply believed and accepted my word and received it, you could have enjoyed it. But yet there are seasons in which I shower my blessings upon my people to inspire them and to provoke them to believe. And this is a season in which I am going to pour out many benefits to my people. Yea, money is coming back to the body of Christ. And yea, healing is coming to my people. So don't talk the way that you used to talk. Don't walk the way you used to walk. Don't live the way you used to live. Look unto me. Listen to the voice of my Spirit. For I am speaking to my people and I am telling them it's a new day. It's the dawn of a new season. And though the world is getting darker and darker, the church is getting brighter and brighter. I am getting ready to flow through you. Yea, I am going to use you. Don't say it's for another people. Don't say it's for a different group. Yea, I'm talking to you. I am speaking to you. And I'm going to use you. So don't look over your shoulder to others. Recognize that I'm speaking to you. And prepare yourself to be used. For I am going to use your hands to bring healing to the sick. I'm going to use your words to bring deliverance to the oppressed. And because of your faithfulness, I shall honor you in these last days. For yea, these are the last of the last days. It's time for my people to be brought forth. The powers of darkness shall be held at bay. For the power of God is going to go unto every nation, tribe, and tongue. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Square your shoulders back. Lift your head up high. For I am the God of the world. For I shall reveal Jesus unto them. And they shall know that I am the God and the Father of my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Kim, do you have anything with that? Okay. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, church, there is a sense of expectancy. I tell you, I can just sense it. I can perceive it in my spirit. Things are not the way they used to be. Business is not as it used to be. God has been preparing us for a number of years. And yes, we are going to be this generation. I believe with all my heart that will usher in the return of the Lord Jesus. But whether that's true or not, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, bless God, I'm here to tell you the Word of God is still true. The Holy Spirit is still empowering His people. And we are going to make a difference to our generation. And bless God, I believe from this nation, and I know we've been through some difficult times in this country, I still believe that through this country, the gospel is going to come from heaven through us to a world that is looking for an answer. Hallelujah. Man, I said it before, but I'll say it again now. I'm telling you, money is coming back to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is a good God, and He's on your side. And I love that He is drawing a distinction between us and the world. The world will see the difference. They'll see it in our smiles. They'll see it in how we live. They'll see it in the health of our body. Oh, glory to God, the prosperity of our finances. But glory to God, they're going to see it with the miraculous as well. Mark chapter 16 is true. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Would everyone stand up, please? I want us to pray as we get ready to get into the Word. Heavenly Father, we come before You in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to gather together and to be with one another. And Father, to enjoy the Spirit of God together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would open our eyes, open our ears, that we would see and hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Father, I thank You for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that is already present. I pray, Lord, that You would flow through me, think through my mind, communicate through my lips, so that there'd be no doubt concerning the will of God this morning from Your Word. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all who would believe said,
amen.
And amen. God bless you, church. You can be seated. Genesis chapter 14. I want us to move down to verse 18, if you will. This is when Abraham was standing in front of Melchizedek. He was not only the king of Salem, he was also the priest of the Most High God. Verse 18, it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Verse 19, "And he," that's referring to Melchizedek, "blessed him." That's Abraham. Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God." So what we're looking at here is the blessing of God that came on Abraham through Melchizedek. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Now look at verse 20, the last sentence. It says, "And he," now that's referring to Abraham, "gave him," that's Melchizedek, "tithes of all." Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Now, as we begin this morning, take note of the word "all." The word "all" means everything. He gave him tithes of everything. Now, we see already one reason why some people have not been blessed to the degree that God would have them to be blessed, and it's because they have not given tithes of everything. They give tithes on some. Now, by that I mean when they go to church, they tithe. But if they would miss church, say if they don't feel well or they have to visit family or something along that line, if they don't go to church, then they don't tithe. They tithe when they go to church, but they don't tithe when they don't go to church. But see, they're not giving tithes of all. Some do better than that. Out of 52 weeks in a year, they'll be at church 50 weeks in a row, but then they'll go on a 2-week vacation, and they don't tithe the 2 weeks that they're gone. So if we know we're going to be gone, it's important that we either send our tithes to the church or bring them after we get back. But we want to be like Abraham and give tithes of everything. Can I hear an amen? But now there's two phrases here I wanted you to see. Number one, it said Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And number two, it said Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. There's four things we learn from these verses. Number one, we see that one person had the tithe to give. The other person had the blessing to give. Number two, the one with the tithe wasn't as great as the one with the blessing. But the greater one with the blessing operated by the funds of the tithe from the lesser. Number three, the tithe is not as great as the blessing. But the blessing doesn't come without the tithe. And number four, the blessing cannot be given unless the tithe is given. So to expect the blessing without being a tither is impossible. Now listen to me, church. You need the blessing more than you need to keep the tithe. Good preaching, Brother Greg. Let me say it again. Everyone look up. You need the blessing more than you need to keep the tithe. See, everyone thinks they need money. No, they need the blessing. You're not blessed because you get money. You get money because you're blessed. But most Christians don't know that. And they end up seeking a byproduct. Now, do you know what a byproduct is? For example, cream is a byproduct of milk. You know, when I was a child, after my grandfather passed away, I used to spend several days at a time with my grandmother. And every morning we'd go down to the barn and we'd milk the cow. And after we milked the cow, we'd carry the bucket of milk back up to the house and we'd set it on the counter. And we'd just let it sit there for a while. And after a while, all the cream in that bucket of milk would rise to the top. Then Grandma'd scrape the cream off and she'd use it on whatever it was she wanted. But the point is, the cream came with the milk. Now, wouldn't it be ridiculous, say, for a farmer back then to say, I'm not going to milk that cow. I don't want milk. I want cream. But you see, the cream comes with the milk. Cream is a byproduct of milk. If you get the milk, you automatically get the cream. Be like wanting to get wet without the water. Listen, if you want to get wet, you first have to get water. Because wet is a byproduct of water. Wherever there's water, there's wet. Wherever there's milk, there's cream. And wherever there's the blessing, there's money. But to try and get the money without the blessing is like trying to get the wet without the water. It can't be done. Can I hear an amen? See, money is a byproduct of blessing. Just as cream is a byproduct of milk, just as wet is a byproduct of water. You don't chase the byproduct, you chase the product. If you get the product, you automatically get the byproduct. And you don't need money, you need the blessing. If you get the blessing, you automatically get the money. Can I hear an amen? See, the tithe and the blessing are inseparable. You cannot get the blessing without the tithe. So for Christians to expect God to increase their finances and prosper them without them being a tither is impossible. God has purposely put this scripture in here to show us that the blessing of the Lord. Now take note of that phrase, the blessing of the Lord. In fact, everyone say that. The blessing of the Lord. Say it again.
The blessing of the Lord.
Once more, the blessing of the Lord. Now listen, God has purposely put this scripture in here to show us that the blessing of the Lord is bestowed upon people who are tithers. Did you notice that Melchizedek did not bless Lot? I mean, Lot was standing right there with Abraham in front of Melchizedek, just like everyone else in that crowd was standing in front of Melchizedek. Yet the only person who got the blessing of the Lord from Melchizedek was Abraham. Why? Because Abraham was a tither. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, quickly, turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, chapter 10. If you just open your Bible in the middle to Psalms, Proverbs will be the very next book over. And I want us to look at one verse here. Once you find Proverbs 10, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, many of you got it. Proverbs, chapter 10, move down to verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord. Now, is that not what we were just reading about? It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, we're going to come back to that no sorrow part in just a moment, but I want you to look at the first part of this verse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, I know for some people, to use the word rich in church is very difficult. For some people, they almost feel unholy. And now they'll talk about being rich at their job, you know, with all their fellow workers. When they're at home talking with their wife or their husband, they don't have a problem talking about using the word rich. They'll talk about it with their friends when they're at school. But when they step into the church, all of a sudden it's almost as if they're unholy if they'd say the word rich. And so the next step in that progression is to start watering down what the word rich means. And so they say, well, rich, that's not talking about finances. That just means you're rich in peace. You're rich in gentleness and long-suffering. You're rich in the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, you want to know what? Those people need to get a life. Amen. Rich in the Bible means the same thing it means to you today. It's talking about finances. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, using Bible terminology, you're not blessed because you're rich, but it makes rich because you're blessed. Can I hear an amen? See, blessing is not a byproduct of riches. Rich is a byproduct of blessing. It doesn't say the high IQ of the person, it maketh rich. It doesn't say the college education of the person, it maketh rich. It doesn't say the incredibly good looks of the person, it maketh rich. It doesn't say knowing all the right people, it maketh rich. Now, church, I'm not against a high IQ. I'm not against a college education. I'm not against incredibly good looks. I'm not against knowing all the right people. I'm just against people putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. Because I've seen people with a high IQ who were poor. I've seen people with a college education down at the welfare office. I've seen people with incredibly good looks living on the street in a cardboard box. I've seen people who know all the right people and it didn't do them any good. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The point is, you have to realize where your help comes from. In fact, if you put your trust in anyone or anything other than the Lord, you will stay in mediocrity the rest of your life. And you will die a twisted, frustrated, unfulfilled, bitter old person. Psalms chapter 75, verse 6 says, promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, or the south. It comes from the Lord up above. Amen. In fact, I'll just throw this out there. Your destiny will be the byproduct of you having your priorities in the right place. Can I hear an amen? All right, now look at verse 22 again. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And look at this phrase. And he addeth no sorrow with it. So evidently, there is sorrow somewhere attached to people who try to get rich without the blessing of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? And just because you see godless celebrities on TV who look like they have their acts together doesn't mean they do. And just because they have a lot of money, it doesn't mean they don't have huge regrets and a life of pain that either it's not being reported or they're purposely keeping hidden. And they can sip their martinis and they can go to their Hollywood parties and they can smile at all the cameras on the red carpet. But I'm telling you, there is a huge, gigantuan life of sorrow that you're not being informed of. I'm telling you the truth. Their kids despise them. Their friends betray them to the tabloid with the highest bid. Their managers steal money from them. The homosexual liaisons they have to perform to get certain movie roles. The drugs they have to take to stay with the in-Hollywood crowd, always living in a plastic surgeon's office, wondering if the next wrinkle they get will cause them to be a has-been, always worrying if some psycho will break into their house to try to rape them or kill them to get famous. In fact, that's probably their biggest fear. They want to get rich and famous, but once they do get famous, they have to spend all their riches on bodyguards and security to keep nuts from trying to kill them to get famous. They now have a lot of money, but they can't even go to the grocery store anymore without being followed all the time. I can assure you, if the devil gives you any money in this world, he will see to it that your life is a hell on earth in some way. That's the name of the game. That's why you have to have your trust in the Lord. Amen. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. But to get the blessing of the Lord, everyone look up, you have to get right with God. But some people don't want to have to get right with God. Some people don't want to have to humble themselves and ask God to forgive them if they do something wrong. They would rather stay prideful and act like they never miss it. And so for some people, it's a whole lot easier to forget the blessing of the Lord and just go for the riches. And they always think they'll be that exceptional one who'll get the riches without any sorrow being attached to it. But that's why when you read about Abraham in the Bible, you'll also read about Lot. Abraham had the blessing and he got rich. But Lot tried to get rich without the blessing of the Lord. And for a time, Lot was just as rich as Abraham was. In fact, they were both so incredibly rich, they couldn't even dwell in the same land. And so Abraham went one way and Lot went the other. But see, if you get rich without the blessing of the Lord, you could make a stupid decision. Lot chose to live in a land that had two cities in it that are now famous for their perversion, Sodom and Gomorrah. Eventually, both cities would be completely destroyed from the face of the earth. But right then at that moment, Lot didn't know any of that, and quite frankly, he didn't even care. All he cared about was that it was a land that looked like it had a lot of riches in it. Just because something looks good doesn't mean it is. And if you don't have the blessing of the Lord, you are not privileged with inside information. And without the right information, you could make a bad decision. But right then at that moment, though Lot didn't have the blessing of the Lord, it looked like he did. Because Lot had just as much money as Abraham had. He had just as much livestock as Abraham. Lot had just as much silver and gold as Abraham did. And right then, it looked like Lot had riches without any sorrow attached to it. But church, appearances can be deceiving. A chain of bad events started falling like a bunch of dominoes. In fact, there's five enemy kings banded together, and they invaded Lot's land. They stole all of his riches. Then they took Lot captive as a slave. They took his wife captive as a slave. Took his four daughters captive as slaves. Now, thank God, eventually Abraham got them free. But the next picture we see of Lot is that he was living in the city of Sodom. And after a while, his wife fell in love with that perverted city. Two of his daughters married a couple of Sodomites. And when the judgment of God came, though Lot got out by the skin of his teeth, his wife died, two of his daughters died, he lost all of his riches, and his last days were spent with his two daughters living in a cave in perversion. Now that's what you call sorrow. See, I don't know about you. I want the blessing of the Lord. If you have the blessing of the Lord, you can get the riches without any sorrow attached to it. But if you get the riches without the blessing of the Lord, you'll have more sorrow than you know what to do with. Can I hear an amen? All right, now, turn back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 1. You've got Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus. There's some truth here that I think will encourage you. I want us to begin reading at verse 2 of Leviticus chapter 1. Oh, I tell you what, let's just start reading at verse 1. And pull your pens out. I'm going to have you underline a couple of phrases, and then we can talk about them. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying," verse 2, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock." Verse 3, "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male," underline these next two words, "without blemish." Let's read on. "He shall offer it of his own," underline these two words, "voluntary will." Now, move down to verse 8. "And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in the water." In other words, this is what they did before. They put it on the fire. "And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice," underline this next phrase, "an offering made by fire." All right, three things we see already. Number one, the offering had to be without blemish. In other words, that's talking about your best. You know, if something had a blemish to it, then that wasn't your best. I mean, you know, you could even have a brand new car. But, you know, you drive it off the lot and you park it at Walmart in the parking lot and someone opens their door and dings your car, though it's a new car, it's no longer your best. You understand that? Number two, it said the offering had to be of your own voluntary will. Now, later on in the book of Leviticus, it calls them free will offerings. But the point is, as Paul said, God doesn't want you to give grudgingly nor of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. So your attitude in how you give is just as important as what you give. Then number three, as it said in verse 9, it had to be an offering made by fire. In fact, I want to say this. The altar of your personal giving should always be on fire. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, let's back up. I want to make sure you get this. According to verse 9, for an offering to be acceptable to God, it had to be on fire. It had to be burning to be acceptable to God. Now, it wasn't enough to bring an offering to the tabernacle. It wasn't even enough to bring your best offering to the tabernacle. It wasn't even enough to voluntarily bring your best offering to the tabernacle. But, as the scripture brings out, the offering had to be on fire to be acceptable to God. Now, in the tabernacle, the fire on the altar was always to be burning. The fire was never to be put out nor allowed to go out. One of the jobs of the priest was to see to it that the fire on the altar was always burning. Why? Because God takes offerings very seriously. Yet one of the problems in the modern day church is that the church has not taken offerings as seriously as God does. And some ministers, they almost apologize to their congregations when they're ready to receive an offering. It's almost as if they're ashamed to receive an offering for God. But now understand this. An offering is representative of you. And an offering is representative of the hard hours that you work at your job. In other words, it's money that you could have used for your own personal needs. So an offering, it represents something that you need, and it represents hard hours that you work at your job. For example, suppose you get paid $20 an hour, and you put $100 in an offering. Well, that means you personally gave to God 5 hours of your time at your job. So instead of working 5 hours at your job to get money for yourself and your personal needs, you're now working 5 hours at your job to get money for God and His kingdom's needs. And that is why God takes your offerings very seriously. It's not just money to God. The Lord knows an offering represents very hard hours that you work at your job. That's why it'd be a terrible thing for you to grudgingly put money in an offering. Because if you're doing it grudgingly, that means you are regretting putting money in an offering, which to God means you are regretting having to work those 5 hours at your job for God instead of for yourself. That'd be like a farmer back in the tabernacle days regretting having to raise an animal that he knows he's going to have to give to God. I mean, you can almost hear us thinking, "My, I'm putting all this time in that animal. I have to protect it from coyotes and wolves and bears. I have to feed it sometimes. I have to spend all night out in the pasture with it to make sure it's okay. And do I get to keep it? Do I get to sell it? No, I have to give it to God." See, that animal represents all the time, all the labor that he put into that animal to raise it, in feeding it, spending time with it. So an animal, an offering, represented time and money. Yet the attitude of most people today is just like that farmer back in the tabernacle days. It stinks. And then they wonder why their giving never produces miraculously for them. It wasn't enough to just bring an offering to the tabernacle. It had to be on fire. And today, it's not enough just to bring an offering to the Lord. It has to be on fire to be acceptable to God. You say, "Well, Brother Greg, well, how can we do that in our day?" All right, the answer is real simple. Fire is representative, or better, I could say it this way. Fire is a type and a shadow for the determination and the passion of your spirit, of the human spirit. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 11? The King James says, "Be fervent in spirit." But the Amplified Bible, it says, "Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor." Then it says, "Be aglow and burning with the Spirit serving the Lord." Church, we should all be on fire for the Lord. Can I hear an amen? You know, when we say, "Wow, that man is on fire." Well, what does that mean? Well, it means he's got determination. He's got passion. It means he's consumed. Again, that's fire terminology. Whenever a person comes to the altar, they should get on fire. Well, if a person is to get on fire, wouldn't it make sense then to say that an offering that is put on the altar should also get on fire? In other words, if an offering is representative of you, if you're on fire, your offering should be on fire. Can I hear an amen? Amen? But you know as well as I do, that's not always the case. And just because we go to church Sunday and Wednesday every week doesn't mean we're on fire. That's why Paul said in the book of Corinthians, we should examine ourselves to see if we're in faith. Yes. Amen. We should never allow anyone to put our fire out, nor allow our fire to go out. In other words, church, we should be consumed with our giving. We don't listlessly or carelessly put money in an offering. Bless God, that money means something to me. That money is something I could have used to pay my own personal bills. Not only that, that money represents hard hours that I worked at my job. I was working those hard hours not for myself, but for the Lord. And so I'm putting this money in the offering. I'm giving it to that ministry because that ministry has helped me. It's fed me. It's blessed me. It's helped to take care of me. And so for me to just throw it in means that I am not on fire, that I don't care. Church, we should all be consumed with our giving. Glory to God. Can I hear an amen? In fact, let me just share a short story. I was preaching in a church in Georgia. Kim, can you hold my Bible? I was preaching in a church in Georgia, and this pastor, well, about 5-6 years. Well, he started his church about 15 years ago. And there was a man who had a lot of money, lot of money. And he wanted to have a Rhema grad start a church in his town. And so he brought this pastor in and he said, I'm going to pay for the building. I'm going to pay your salary. Just want you to come in and preach. Now, that's a good way to start a church, or an easy way. And so he came in there and they started the church and they built that church up and they had about 120, maybe 130 people. And in the course of that, turns out the FBI showed up at the church one day, and this man who had had a lot of money, it turns out he was a con man, and the FBI had been tracking him down. They finally got him, and they arrested him, put him in jail. Was it 5, 6, 7 years, something like that? And, of course, the pastor was shocked, but that rich man had helped this pastor get his house, so his house, he ended up losing his house. The associate pastor, which was his sister, she was a huge piano player, just a tremendous musician. She ended up losing her house, and when all of this mess happened in the church, about 50 or 60 people said goodbye. And so he's just hanging on to the church, and then I meet this pastor, and he invites me to come preach for him. And so they had 50, 60, 70 people, you know, at this point, you know, by then. And he just apologized. He said, Greg, man, I wish we could give you more. He said, we're doing the best we could. And he did. And he really meant that. He was doing the best he could for me. And that pastor, even though times were hard, even though they were difficult, he still tithed. And I know when I came in, he bent over backwards to do his best for me. And I came and preached for him, I think, maybe 4 or 5 times over a period of 5 or 6 years. Well, I was invited to do a certain regional meeting for the organization that I'm associated with in the state of Georgia. And so I had this Sunday morning off, so I called him and asked if he'd be interested in having me. He said, well, come on. So I came into the church, and wow, you could just tell something had happened in that church. They were on fire. And, man, we just had a great time. And where I have my book table back there, I was back there and people were coming by to get up books. And this lady walked up to me and she handed me a roll of bills like something you'd see a mobster, you know, in those old movies do. She handed me a roll of bills, must have been that thick. And she said, Greg, if someone cannot afford any books or CDs, she said, I trust that'll be enough to cover it. I enrolled it. There was $700 there. I said, I think that will cover it. And went out to eat with the pastor. And he said, Greg, he said, my goodness, he said, I want you to come back to our church. You know, when can we schedule a time? And so I said, well, I'll give you a call next week. And he said, well, Greg, let me tell you what happened to our church. He said, Greg, we had, remember the power team? And I said, yes. He said, well, they've kind of broken up, and they have little remnant groups, a couple of people come. And so we had these two guys come in, and we were trying to reach out to the community. Well, there's these two ladies came to the church. And it turns out, in fact, you know the ATM machines that you see outside of banks? This woman's husband was the guy who invented those things. Wow. She was worth $150 million, and her daughter was worth $50 million. They came to the church, and they loved the church, and they made that their home church. So that first Sunday morning, the mother put in $2,500 in the offering. The daughter put in $2,500. Next Sunday they came, the mother put in $2,500, the daughter put in $2,500. The next Sunday, the mother put in $2,500, the daughter put in $2,500. From that time on, there's $5,000 that was coming into the church every Sunday just from those two people. Well, the next week I called the pastor and we set up a time to come. And he said, by the way, Greg, he said, could I get your email address? There's someone in the church who wants to email you. And I said, well, sure. So I gave him the email address. And he said, I just wanted to make sure I had your permission. So a couple of days later, I get this email. It turns out it was from, was it the mother or the daughter? It was the daughter. And she said, Greg, she said, I love this church. I love the pastor. And she said, the worship, it's just all so wonderful. But there have been some people who told me that if we don't have church on Saturday, then we cannot be Christians and we'd all be going to hell. And so she says, I'm thinking maybe I better leave the church. Well, I'm telling you, I felt like the Apostle Paul writing the Corinthians. The Spirit of God came on me. And I spent a couple of hours getting this letter together to answer all of her questions, you know, concerning some of the things that she was concerned about. And I, in fact, I showed it to Kim. I said, Kim, would you read this? And she read that. She goes, wow. She said, that is really good. I said, man, I think it's awesome too. And, you know, and so I clicked. I sent that off to that lady. Well, she was so blessed by that. She said she was passing that around to different people. It was answering a lot of questions that these people, these outsiders were bringing to them. And a couple of days later, I got another email from her. And she said, Greg, I love this church, but, you know, all these people speaking in tongues. She said, I think speaking in tongues is just for missionaries who are learning foreign languages to the country they're to preach at. And so, you know, she was all, well, I'm telling you, I felt like Paul writing 2 Corinthians. I mean, the Spirit of God came on me. It was just incredible. I showed it to Kim. I said, Kim, read this. Is this as good to you as how I think it is? And she read it. She said, that's awesome. I said, well, I think it's good too. I mean, it was incredible. And so I sent it, emailed it to her. And I got this huge thank you from her, and she'd pass it around. Well, at that point, I thought, man, you know, the pastor needs to know what's going on here. And so I called him up and said, let me get your email. And so I copied her questions and my answers and sent those off. And he was just really appreciative of that. But then I got an email back from that lady. And she said, Greg, she said, I love my church. She said, I love the praise and worship. She said, I love my pastor. But she said, because of these outsiders, I got so confused I was going to leave. Even though I loved it, and it just felt so good on the inside of me, I was just confused in my head. She said, but I want to thank you for explaining it in such a way that I could understand. She says, I'm now plugged into the church. Well, the pastor called me up, and he said, Greg, he said, I hope she gives you an offering. And I don't know if he talked to her or what, but a couple of weeks later, I got an offering from her, which I appreciated greatly. But the point is, are you ready for this? That woman so loved that church last summer, she paid off the church building. Wow. Then she bought the pastor a house and paid cash. He doesn't owe a dime. They were getting ready to buy the associate pastor, his sister, a house, so she wouldn't owe a dime. In January, her first fruits offering was $165,000. Then they bought a vehicle for the church. And last year, this little church of 80, 90, 100 people, they gave over $600,000 to missionaries. Glory to God. Then she paid $37,000 on a hot dog vending type thing, and they went to the projects in this area, and they started giving out free food to all the people who don't have jobs and living in poverty. And I'd say about half of that church now are people who are mired in poverty, but now they're hearing the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a special anointing that has come on that church to preach the gospel to the poor. And you haven't seen more poor people excited for the name of Jesus? And they said, I'm going to get a job. Those that didn't have it, those who got a job, they were faithful with the little job. And there was other people who had been faithful for a longer season. They were now starting to make money. And you were seeing a revival take place with the poor, with the middle class, and with the rich. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it thrills me. I'm telling you, I get excited about the things of God. And I say all of that because I'm telling you, I said it just a few moments ago, money is coming back to the body of Christ. This economy is not going to dictate to us how we're going to live. We don't live by the world's economy. We live by God's economy. I know you. I know this church. I know you all give at least $100,000 every year in your offerings. I know you're tithers. So I'm preaching to the choir and what I'm saying this morning. I'm just reminding you, because you're tithers and because you're offering givers, if there's any group of people that God is looking for to flow finances through for the spreading of the gospel, it's going to be you. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Don't you even dare think about giving up. Don't you even dare think about turning back. I'm telling you, this thing hasn't come to an end. It's just getting ready to begin. Mm-mm-mm. I love what Kim said. The curtain is getting ready to part. Jesus is going to take center stage, and the world is getting ready to see Jesus for who He really is. I'm telling you, things are getting ready to heat up. in an exciting way where the Spirit of God is going to manifest Himself in the earth. And every nation, every tribe, and every tongue is going to get the repeated opportunity to hear about Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Everyone stand to your feet. Man, where'd the time go? Lift your hands towards heaven and just begin to thank God. Thank Him for the Word. Thank Him for the Word you heard today. Oh, Father, we thank You. We thank You. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Glory to God. In fact, those of you filled with the Spirit, just begin to worship Him right now in other tongues. Oh, shitabara nabaruto kolotamana tabarete. Mike, can I get that microphone for him? Let's just worship Him right now. Worship Him right now. Just thank God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to be magnified. He's worthy to receive your praise. You are a child of the Most High, the living God, and that God is your heavenly Father. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We praise You, Father. We glorify You, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank You, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead. I want to, there's a few things the Lord's put on my heart to share with you this morning. Several years ago, Greg and I were having a service in Massachusetts, and I had a vision in the service, and I saw a dark black tree with bright orange and yellow leaves on the tree, and a wind began to blow, and when the wind began to blow the leaves off the tree, and I literally saw them on the ground flowing toward a building, and the vision was over, just gone. And the Lord spoke to me, and this is what it represented. The dark black trees represented the dead churches in our country, the liturgical churches. But God said in those churches are people who are hungry. See, the Holy Ghost is moving. Even though you don't even know anything about it, you're in a good church, but the Spirit of God's working. And so He said there are people who are hungry. They know there's more and they're ready for more. And when the wind of my Spirit is released on this earth, He said it's going to begin to blow those people out of those dead churches into the charismatic Pentecostal churches. And so since then, the Lord's been speaking to me about the harvest. And the Lord put it on my heart to share this with you this morning. Church, you're getting ready to win souls like never before.
Yes.
And it's going to be easy. And one of the reasons it's going to be easy is because it's harvest time. In the Spirit, there are different seasons. God appoints certain seasons where He does certain things. And we've been saying this for a couple of years. You've been hearing this probably all over the place. But this is the final last move of God. And if you were God and you're going to give the last move, wouldn't it be a humdinger? Wouldn't you just like do anything and everything you're going to do to be able to reap as many as possible? And that's what you're getting ready to see God do. You're getting ready to see God move powerfully on this earth, especially in this country. We've seen God move in foreign countries. We've been hearing what God's been doing in Argentina. Oh, goodness gracious.
Indonesia.
Oh, a revival. Africa. Iraq. Iran. It's powerful. But see, what you're hearing over there is what's coming here.
Yeah.
So why am I saying this to you? Because now you would need to understand something. You have a part in this last move of God. God cannot do this by Himself. He needs you to be working with Him. And so this is what I want to tell you. The Spirit of God spoke this to me last year. And as the Spirit of God tells me to say it to whatever church I'm in, then I'm obedient to do what the Lord tells me to do. This is a praying church. I know this is a praying church. Do you get together once a week sometime to pray as a church? You do. Praise the Lord. But okay. Well, let me tell you something. It's getting ready to change. You're going to get together once a week and pray, but I want to tell you something, that there is a prayer, there's a spirit of prayer that God is going to release to every single vessel that is willing and will be yielded to the Holy Ghost. Every single one of you that will allow themselves will be yielded to the Spirit of God. There is going to be a powerful anointing that comes on you to pray. The Lord said to me that one of the keys to this last day harvest, you see, God's the one that releases the harvest to each church. You know that. This church is appointed by God for a large harvest. There's a large harvest of people that are getting ready to come to this church. And you're going to have a part in this. Now, this is what God said to me. He said, tell the churches that the sickle and bringing in or reaping in this harvest is going to be prayer. It's going to be your tongue. It's going to be you yielding and praying according and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Church, let me tell you something. You've been given power. Jesus said all authority has been given. You've been given authority. And I don't know if I've shared this with you, but I'm sensing to say this to you this morning. About a year and a half ago, we were in Arkansas getting ready for a service. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Lord began to speak to me about Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. And where the word says that we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all rule, right? And so God began to say this to me. He said, I need you to understand this. You have authority. You've been given authority by my son. We have in Kansas City a baseball team called the Royals baseball team. And we have a beautiful stadium that seats about, what, 40,000?
50,000.
50,000 people. Well, we haven't been good for a long time. So there are a lot of people that don't come out and watch these guys play. So the Spirit of the Lord reminded me in April, like when it first starts, how the media will come out and pan the audience with the camera. You know, take a big shot. And 40,000, a stadium that seats 40,000 people, if you have 2 to 5,000 people in a stadium, that just looks like a handful of people, doesn't it? And the Lord said, tell my people that's what it looks like in the heavenlies. You have a seat with your name on it. And most people are not taking their place every single day in prayer. They're not taking their place of authority. They're not crying out to God and speaking on behalf of this country. He said, there are things that can be changed now if my people will get together and begin to pray. Well, why does it take a lot of people? Well, I don't understand that, but that's what God needs us to do. Because we're asking God to change a country that doesn't want to be changed. We're asking God to come to a country that really doesn't care very much about him anymore. We're asking God to invade this country with the glory of God for this generation's sake. You know, you've had a chance. My generation's had a chance. My parents' generation's had a chance. But my children's generation, they've got to have this move of God. And one of the people, I'll tell you what, you're going to see a lot of young people. That's who you're going to see getting saved in this last move. But the Lord just wanted me to share this with you, church. Get ready. Get yourself prepared. You do your part, and God's going to do his part. And together, you're going to see. I'm telling you, if you'll do what I'm telling you, you're going to see. You're going to see the grace. You're going to see the anointing of God hit you like never before. And you're going to have a hunger for souls. And you're going to have a desire to see people saved. And you're going to have a strong desire to come to this church and pray. And it's getting ready to get real fun. Because sometimes prayer is not fun. Sometimes we have to do it just because, you know, we're supposed to do it. But boy, when you get in those seasons with the Holy Ghost, there is nothing like breaking through and praying with the Lord. It is awesome. And that is what's coming to this church. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Pastor, the Lord said this to me this morning. This is really good. You know, there are some times we know God's up to something.
Yep.
Do you know God's up to something? Sure. You know that. And the Lord said for the past several years, God's been positioning this church. God said it's been timing and positioning over last several years. And the Lord said that the timing and the positioning for this church, God's been doing that because it's your season now.
Yeah.
See, these are going to be your most fruit-bearing years of your ministry is right here now, right here. I hear that. Lord says, don't put it off and say it's a couple of years from now. You'll ruin it. It's now. And so the Lord said, I've been putting things together. I've been positioning. I've been making adjustments through your life. God's been making adjustments in the church. The atmosphere of the church has been changing. Why? God's making the atmosphere conducive for what's about to hit this church. That's what the Lord said. And so as I'm sitting on the front row, the Lord's speaking to me. And all of a sudden, I saw one of those big power switches, you know. When you, I don't know if you pull it down or you pull it up. I think I saw it come down. But the power of God is about to be released. Now, you got the power. But a new, an added power. More power is getting ready to come in this church like you've never seen before. And more opportunities. Oh, my goodness, the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel must be preached, shall be preached in power. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, God is going to give you, God's going to give you tremendous opportunities. And he's going to give you creative ideas, things you have not even thought of. God's going to really use your children. God's really going to use your children. God's got all kinds of creative ways to get the word out. But I want to tell you, not only are the ideas coming, but the finances to do those ideas are coming. Praise the Lord. But God said, I'm getting ready just to, what was the word? Because I don't use it often. The floodgates. He said, I'm getting ready to release the floodgates upon this church. Well, when God talks about floodgates, that's a floodgate of blessing. And the blessing is finances. That's a part of it. And there are people all over this area. You don't even know it, but the Spirit of God has been speaking, going out and ministering conviction to the hearts of many people. But it takes God to bring in the harvest to church. And you just remember that the way he's going to do it, a major way that he's going to do this is through your praying. Amen? So, Pastor, your most blessed days are right here. Right here, right here, and right now. It is a new season. What Greg said, I say it too. I say it because I sense the Lord saying, it is a new season in this place. And your eyes will see it. You will see it. You will see it. You will see it. You've heard, but you will see, saith the Lord. You will see these things surely come to pass. I give you praise, and I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in this place.
Yes. Yes.
I thank you, Father, for all the souls that are going to be released in this place. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's going to come on these people's lives, God. Become workers with you, Father God. Unified, God. One with you, God. I give you praise, and I thank you, God, for all the testimonies that are going to come through your mouth as you begin to glorify God because you've yielded yourself to work with the Holy Ghost. I give you praise, and I thank you for the expectation. Church, I hear the Lord say, be expecting. You be expecting. Begin to say these things. Begin to come expecting.
Yes.
I want to tell you that you're in a time of surprise. You're in a time of surprise. You're in a time of breakthrough. I want to tell you that there are going to be times that you come in this church and you have no clue what it's about to hit you. And there's going to be a spirit of healing that hits this place. And many of you will come out of this place completely healed and set free by the power of God.
Yes.
You'll bring friends to with you to church. But I want to tell you, then there's going to be an outbreak. See, it's the Holy Ghost can do whatever he wants to do. And you're going to see tormented souls set free. You're going to see such change take place in people's lives as they come in this place. But I heard the Lord say, you come prepared and you come expecting, and you're going to start seeing the activity of the Holy Ghost in this place like you've never seen before. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everyone say this. Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm getting prepared. For God to use me. Use me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, use me. Oh, glory to God. Lift your hands towards heaven and thank God. Father, we thank you. 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 Father, we pray blessing on every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this church. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, I'm just reminded. Everyone look up real quick. We're about ready to quit. Remember that pool of water where the angel came down and stirred the water? The first one who got in the water was healed. Remember that story in the Bible? I feel like God is stirring this church. Only instead of the first person, it's going to be every person who steps into this church is going to get delivered or healed, whatever it is that's wrong with them. I tell you what, God's getting ready to do some great things in this church. I tell you, anyone who knows anything about this church, you know there's great things already happening. But there's a lot of people out there that don't know it. But bless God, they're coming in. There is a stirring going on. The Spirit of God is brooding in this community. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for what you're doing in this ministry. Father, I thank you for how you're preparing the hearts of the people in this community to hear about Wills Point International Outreach Church. Father, I pray that this church, that people would continually hear good things day in and day out about this church. Oh, let it go forth in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we call them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, there's no way we can go under. We're going over. And we're moving up. This church is moving up to another level. I say this church is blessed. I say every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl is blessed in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.